sinners are converted, what do? They repent, which means they obey the law of God. That's the big difference of life. Because the life of God, remember, we find in 1 John a couple things. First of all, we find that God is love. That's what it says. And so his life emanates that concept or core character of love. He's also holy. His holiness demands justice and goodness and righteousness. So he sets up laws that says, don't lie, don't covet, you know, so on and so forth. All these laws, because they are establishment of love. If you look at them and really think it through, all it is orders to love other people. If you love somebody, you're not going to try to steal their stuff. If you love somebody, you're not going to try to beat them up and take control of their lives. If you love somebody, you treat them the way the law tells you to love. That's why it's so essential to understand. That is the life or light that's blowing through Christendom. And when it's absence, you find the absence of those characteristics. Go to communist countries and see if they're full of love and care for one another. They take guns and shoot anybody that doesn't agree with them. They tell them to shut up, you can't talk against me, and shoot their heads off too. Everything's run by guns and bullies. And they take everything from you. What does a communist own? Nothing. They're not allowed to own anything. The government runs everything and controls them. They're slaves. The exact opposite of Christianity. Our very culture and nation is a reflection of Jesus Christ. Even the people that are atheists and can't stand talking about it, they're enjoying Christ in their lives. Isn't that scary to think that? And yet they still hate him. How could they hate him? It's incredible. Notice it says here, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected, which means completed or finished in that person. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to, and here's the key I want you to think through, in him also ought to also walk just as he walked. See, the whole essence of what we're saying, the impact of Christianity and that story about the little mustard seed impacting. See, Jesus was one body here. His impact only went about 200 miles in a circle around from where he was born. But you see, the kingdom grew because there was more of us that believed. And pretty soon there was bunches of us. And every time we did, the impact as we walked just like he walked caused that loving, caring concern to grow and blossom and touch people all over the planet. We became life-giving plants across the globe. Life givers. Excelling, just like plants give out oxygen, we were giving off life to others. We're affecting the planet. Or some people think we're infecting the planet. The socialists and so forth hate us. Nazism, which is nothing more than socialism, a brother of communism, hated us and wanted to exterminate Christians. Do you know that they have clear quotes from Hitler that when he was finished with the Jews, the Christians were next? Clearly. They've got quoted evidence that it just so happened he didn't get enough time to finish all the Jews yet. As soon as for all those years, he murdered over 6 million. As fast as he could kill them, he was killing them. But when he was done, he was going after Christians. They knew that. It just so happened, God said it wasn't time for the Antichrist to murder all the Christians yet. That's coming later in our end time prophecies of the Bible. But in the meantime, there's been Antichrist governments who've murdered Christians and people. China today still murders Christians and sells body parts on the black market. You know where a lot of body parts coming from this stuff is from Chinese Christians? It's pathetic. They're horrid people. Misery reigns where Christ is not there. Jesus Christ has changed virtually every aspect of human life. And this is what I really want you to think through. And I'm talking about every aspect. And again, I don't have time to go through all of them. But I'm going to take you through some just quick ideas and a few evidences to show you. First of all, the tragedy of Christmas, I believe, in our culture is the trivialization of Christ, taking him out. They just showed a thing where, I forget how many hundreds of hours of TV in the season already, and basically, less than a couple percent ever even mention Christ. Even allude to him. And every story is about Santa Claus and how everybody wants to have a good heart and get what they want for Christmas. Some kids want their daddies. It's just get what I can get. people want a new husband or new wife or health and everything what they get and they want. But nothing talks about the point that Christ is Christmas. It's all been forgotten. And it's nothing to do with what you get, it's what you give. If you're reflecting that life and walk as Christ walked. It's just completely lost. It's completely, totally erased. People have forgotten him who they owe so much. Jesus stated in Revelation 21:5, and this is interesting, behold, which actually the word there has got the idea of examine carefully. Examine carefully, I have made all things new. You know that Jesus transformed everything he touched? He'd go to a town, and when he left it, the hospitals were clear. Actually, they didn't even have hospitals. But I mean, there was no more sickness there. He'd leave whole villages with healthy people. He'd feed them. He'd take care of them. He'd cast out all the demons that were corrupting and destroying their lives. And when he left, the whole community was different. He literally walked through like a magnetic impact machine. That town's different. That town's different. He'd go to bed and wake up and people would be by the hundreds standing in his front door. Can you imagine at your house, wake up and you look out your window and there's 40,000 people looking in the window to see if you got up yet? You know, you want to get on my yard, folks? You know, can you come out? We need you. Everywhere he had such an impact, the crowds pressed upon him everywhere he went because what he did was so blew their minds. He healed all their sicknesses, cared for them, showed them what was value of life and that they were important. I mean, he just blew their minds and literally tore the nation apart. It was so crazy. That's the impact he had. He transformed everything he touched. Even dead bodies would pop out of the graves and get up. Funeral, imagine taking your loved one, like they do still do it. Like remember when this guy just died from Palestine. They want to carry his body and everybody touch his thing and take it to a place and bury him. And the crowds are there. Here they've got a crowd of people. People are dying. He comes, meets them in the street, raises the guy from the dead right in the middle of the funeral procession. They get out of the casket and they're done and he's alive again. Man, Jesus really did things. He transformed everything he touched. He really did. Now, he was born and just his birth transformed us today. Your calendar has been switched because he was born. Even the poor atheists have to admit that Jesus was, because every time they say Mai was born on May 5th of 1942, they're saying the year of our Lord, A.D., a Latin term, of the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. They can't get out of it. Our time is measured by him. Hospitals essentially were established during the Middle Ages because the church or Christians established them because of their concern. They became a normal part of culture everywhere Christ and his church was. Go to pagan lands, no hospitals. Guess what Christians do? They go straight over there and set up hospitals to help those poor people. Hospitals and the very concept, you're so used to a hospital, it's so normal to you, but it came because of Christians who established those throughout the world. And go back to history and you'll find it. Universities began in the Middle Ages. And they came because of Christians exclusively establishing a higher place of learning about God. There were no higher learning in the old days. Education and literacy for the common man were established by Christians. The religion of Jesus is a religion of teaching and education and lifting whole communities up higher than they ever were before. Even for my sake, it wasn't that many years ago in this country where there was very little education. Christianity continues to push it up and push it up. But my grandfather had a second grade education. My grandmother, you could hardly read her chicken scratch. She, I don't know how many years she'd went to school, but not very many. It was just kind of hard to understand her, for she couldn't hardly write. And yet our culture, based on Christianity, at least gave them a chance, because you go back just before Christianity, no one knew how to read. You know, today there's still 300 million people that don't even have a written language in the world. 300 million still can't write because they don't have anything to write. Nobody figured out what they're saying. And you know, most of the people in the last years who have gotten their language translated, guess who they are? Christians that are spending their life translating. You go back to famous missionaries in our history, even in China and India, they were people writing the Word of God out, actually inventing their language because no one had a written language until they were working with them in many cases. Not in China. China has an ancient language, but many of the cultures where they had smaller dialects and so forth didn't have languages. The main Chinese had an ancient language from way back. Well, let me go back to capitalism and free enterprise. The very reason why we are so affluent as a nation, we have such freedoms and amounts of money. Remember, if you own a car, you're in the upper what percent of people that exist in this world? Upper 5% of the richest people that ever walked the face of the earth. Just if you own a car. You own a car? You're one of the richest. 95% of the world is poorer than you are. That quick. And you're just a teenager. That's how rich we are. That's all because of capitalism and free enterprise. Why does communism, socialism hate capitalism? Because it's based off of the character teachings of Jesus. Well, now, I hope I'll have time to show that to you. Representative government, transforming life in America and influencing the whole world, became because of Christianity. You know, before our nation was formed, we were just a colony of England under the iron thumb of King George. And guess what happened? This religious revival swept America. It's called the Great Awakening. It so impacted the hardcore people of who were here that they softened up and became Christians by the trainload. It so affected the entire colonies by the time they heard preachers preaching to them about the Word of God, it so infested their thinking, they didn't just hear it and brush it off. It blew them away and it affected their desires for righteousness, justice, fairness, taxation, keeping your word. Kings never kept their word. That's the problem. He kept lying to them all the time and taking their stuff. The kings always misused their power. They were tyrants. All these things affected, and the Christian message kept blowing their minds, and they wanted a hunger and a thirst for liberty. And what's the scripture say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The Word of God infected these people to such an extent, the whole creation of our government and who we are as a nation. And if you read history, we're the only nation like this. No other nation has government like our government, unless they copied us. We have separation of power. All the things that came right out of Isaiah and portions of Scripture, everything's established, and what gives us our greatness is from Christ. And boy, go to Capitol Hill and go to the Democratic liberals and ask them what they think about that. They're trying to erase all that stuff. They don't want the Ten Commandments in our culture any longer. They don't want that stuff. Well, where will it take us? Back to darkness and tyranny. What they're asking for is not what they really want. They're confused. And they're going to get what's going to hurt them instead of help our nation. Look at the separation of political powers right out of Scripture. Civil liberties out of Scripture. It's incredible to take the time to go through all of it. The abolition of slavery, both in ancient history and in more modern times, is a result of Christ's teaching. You say, well, in the Bible they had slaves. In the beginning of our country they had slaves. That's right. Do you know that was a major debate when they were forming the colonies? Remember, religion just took hold of our people just a few years before the revolutionary time came. The 1730s and 40s was when religion began to impact them. It was in that generation they started to understand the Bible. There was already a movement. They wanted to make sure slavery was taken out of our country before it even started. But the southern states were threatening not to even become a part of the nation if they did that, because it takes time. Anytime thoughts come, it takes time to incorporate them in the groups of people, doesn't it? Science doesn't just have one idea come up and it's all taken care of. Remember even washing hands for doctors? It took years for it to take hold. Even though it was the right thing, it took time for it to get in people's heads. Well, the same with the idea of civil liberties. It took time. And so for the preservation of starting the country, they compromised with these strong colonies and allowed slavery to stay there. But remember, it didn't last long. Before long, it took a few more years, and they fought over it and finally defeated it. It still took more time because the hatred of our black community was still embedded in that slavery mentality, and it took men like Martin Luther King to rise up, a Baptist preacher, and stir people for that true liberty that the scriptures always talked about. But you go back, the impact of who did Martin Luther get his ideas from? Martin Luther King? The Bible. Where did the founders get their ideas from that caused them to be concerned about it in the first place? The Bible. All back to Jesus. But it's no problem. Go to Islam and see if they care about slavery. They don't care. Go ask them how they treat their women. They don't care. There is no concept or comparison between Jesus Christ and any other group or religion across the land. If you go to Hinduism, anywhere you go, there's no comparison. Hinduism thinks you're worthless and you turn into dogs and rats or whatever. They don't even care. Only Christianity lifts mankind up to a plane of high existence and value. And women of high value, children of high value. We'll talk more about the value of life next week. I'm going to spend the whole sermon on it because it's so important, because it so establishes our humanity from understanding Jesus Christ. Modern science was birthed by Christians. Christians. The discovery of the New World was because Christopher Columbus was driven, even in his journals, he admits he had such a hunger to reach lost people for Jesus Christ, believe it or not. And the world doesn't want to hear that. In his own writings, he says it in his own journals, and he didn't publish them. It was his own personal journals that he found it. His love for Christ drove him. Not hunger for riches and to be, you know, famous, but his concern for lost mankind. The elevation of women is incredible from Scripture. Benevolence and charity and the Good Samaritan ethic that so Americans, again, you go to all over the world, the place that has the most giving people is the United States of America. Explain that, because it's the central core of most Christianity on our planet today. And even again, the people that aren't Christians still are more giving than anywhere else. In ancient Rome, more than half the population were slaves. The Roman guys, it's incredible. You can't even compare. If you ever lived in the culture, it's almost what we have to do. We'd have to be taken to a culture and live there before you ever just understand what we've got, what we have experienced from Jesus Christ. It literally, you just don't understand it all. The elevation of standards of law and justice were driven by the Scripture. Our nation stands above all other nations. Did you hear about France this last week? Their head guy, they're proving he's a lying, thieving, corrupt leader. Their law says, first of all, they can't do anything about it. Secondly, the French people said, oh, we expect most of our politicians to be corrupt anyway. It's okay. They literally are stupid enough to say, oh, it's okay. We know they're going to be corrupt. How can you be that idiotic and want to be led by that kind of thing and be ripped off by that kind of thing? That's Europe, because 99% of them have turned away from God. Literally by evidence, there's about 1% left that have religious concern in Europe and France. Again, where are they going to? A socialistic, communist-type way of thinking. Plus, they're being invaded by Islamic thinking on top of that, which, again, that's a hate religion, too. So you got all this stuff, corruption there. And what do you get out of it? More corruption. Same old thing. And if you don't think Islam is not corrupt, then how come every time any of these Middle Eastern countries, whenever you go in, there's no standard of highness there? Everywhere you can go, you can buy off a guard, you can buy off a border patrol. Everybody's corrupted and takes money for anything. And there's no moral value that they think they have to answer to Allah for the fact that they shouldn't lie, cheat, and be corrupted. They still all practice it when they claim with their mouth they're following a God. Right? But you hear it over and over again. Corruption is horrendous. The life of the common man is also. Remember back in the old days, it was the kings and the serfs, which means the rich and the have-nots. The king's elite was a few handful of guys that had all the cash, and then the 99% of the people were a bunch of poor, slave-like people, even though they were free. That's the way the world is if you go to communism. Few guys, the communists are rich, all the rest of the people are slaves. Go to Islam. You get the kings, the sheikhs that own all the money and all the poor people that are struggling to live. Only in America, who teaches freedom and justice, suddenly we have a common man who has a middle middle-income person who's got a freedom of life that's different than the rest of the world. Christianity behind the whole idea. The condemnation of adultery, homosexuality, and other sexual perversions. We repress that in our culture. We stand against it as salt. What happens from that? Well, go to Africa and ask them. Some of those nations, half their populations are dying of AIDS. Why? Because they practice open immorality all the time, and now they're all infected and dying by the millions. Christianity says it's wrong to do that, folks. And the pressure we put on a culture, the people slow down. We have a problem with AIDS, but nothing compared to a pagan nation. Because the people who won't listen to us do suffer the same consequence. But the salt or the life-giving force of Jesus has kept our nation alive and our people healthy. Does that make sense? We preserve the human race from many heartaches also because of our teaching that's wrong to do those things. Our high regard for human life, period, is why our nation is so divided and fighting over abortion. Christians scream and say, quit murdering babies. And the unchristian in our culture says, leave us alone. We want to be like the old Roman pagans who take care of their children. We want to be like, if we don't want them, we don't have to have them. Or like the communists, you know, because they don't want to hear the message of Jesus. But guess what? Over half the people of our culture now, it's growing anti-abortion. Pro-life is growing. Even research now with the high school students, there's more pro-life children there, and it doesn't make sense because they're not even religious yet. They're still unreligious, but they're seeing the stupidity of murdering babies. And so it's amazing to see the trend as Christians keep voicing the call to righteousness. It does take effect and causes goodness in our culture. The civilizing of many barbarian and primitive cultures is changing the face. I just saw a thing on Discovery Channel where in Papua New Guinea, where they had the headhunters and stuff and so forth, now they're cutting airstrips up because they want civilization to come in. They got one guy in this one village. They get together and they argue and fight, and then they work for an hour and then they quit and go home and lay around. They don't have an ethic yet. But the one guy, dressed up in a Western suit and tie, hanging, and he's a and the rest of them are mostly naked, but he wants it to come to his village. So they get together and have arguments. They work for a couple hours. He keeps bringing them back, and over a period of time, they're building this airstrip so that the civilization can come in. Because they saw other villages, and they had some benefit from it. They got new tools, and so it's worth it, you know. So you see that as they get that civilization, they start understanding life. There's a newness to understanding. Instead of sitting around cutting each other's heads off, shrinking their skins and killing each other and wearing the little stick things they wear and the weird things, you know what I'm talking about, Cheryl? Little stick things they wear. Bunch of weird stuff, and this guy wears a suit in the middle of their stuff. Because civilization is changing their perspective of life. There's more to it than just hanging around in bushes and eating pigs and selling children and selling your wife to, or selling your daughters to somebody else so you can have money. They sell their daughters to somebody else. As long as you give me 10 pigs, you can marry my daughter. That makes me richer because pigs was their money. Money isn't money. Pigs are money. So the more pigs you have, the richer you are in their culture. So they spend a lot of time. Yeah, don't let's not get off. And I got to hurry because I'm almost done here. The establishment of written language, we've already mentioned. Great development of art and music. Jesus being the inspiration of the greatest works of art. Art came to its height during the times when the religious Christianity had such influence on a nation or a culture. Western civilization, you go back to the greatest art pieces worth millions are from that period when it was realistic. They painted of things, and you've seen so many times it was like Da Vinci painting of the Last Supper, different incredible paintings of reality of life. Countless changed lives transformed from liabilities into assets because of the gospel of Christ. People are negative to culture. If you spend your time robbing banks and they drag you off to prison and take you to court, the government, our taxes are spent by millions and millions of dollars housing criminals, bringing them to justice, paying for law enforcement officers, paying for CSI labs and computers. We spend billions of dollars to try to stop crime because that's a liability to a culture. People that come to Jesus Christ and turn from that life of crime and follow the ways and walk like Jesus, They are assets to the culture. They add to the government. They add to the community. They reach out to their neighbors. They go into government jobs to help those in need. They add to the world. That's why Christ can be proven behind the goodness of culture. The eternal salvation of countless people is the final line, but really that's the whole point, isn't it? Jesus said, go make disciples. Really, our bottom line is making disciples. All what I just went through are nothing more than byproducts of Jesus Christ. When people are turned to God, when they turn to good, they do good things. And their influence upon the world is unmeasurable. Right? A few other points before I close. Before Christ, the world universal saw life as cheap. Even today, where the gospel is not presented or believed, life is almost worthless. Worth very little. While poverty has always been with us, the Church of Jesus has done more than any other institution to remove poverty. This doctor of historical research did an exhaustive writing through documents, and he could find no trace of organized charity until the church came along. He went to original documents studying the histories of all ancient antiquity. There was never a mention ever of charity. The only place it began was Jesus Christ and his church. The church is why they followed in his path of love. They couldn't help but have compassion for those struggling and suffering. Even Nicholas, the man that built the whole foundation for the story of Christmas or Santa Claus, was nothing more than a Christian preacher who had such compassion upon people around him that even though he was born as a rich kid, his father and mother died when he was 12 years old. He was then raised by the church who took him in, and he spent his life giving away his fortune, helping those around him. He became so famous as a man of charity that the entire story of Santa Claus going around giving gifts to everybody is from that truth. But the point was, he was not just generally giving gifts whether they're naughty or nice. He was finding those desperate souls who were hungering and dying and suffering and relieved their pain. And he became so famous, the stories grew to immeasurable proportion beyond where it should be. But the truth is, he was nothing more than practicing the teachings of Jesus, and you'll find that in history. Durant was an author who wrote about Rome. Charity found little scope in this fragile life. Hospitality survived as a mutual convenience at a time when ends were poor and far between. But the sympathetic Polybius reports that in Rome, no one ever gives away anything to anyone if he can help it. Rome was full of selfish, selfish people. And remember, what was their fun? They were so heartless, they put people in the arenas and let animals eat them up and tear them up. They made guys go in there and kill each other for blood sport. They had no compassion for anybody, let alone poor anybody. There was no compassion in Rome. That world didn't exist with compassion, and that can be measured in every culture around the world at that time without Jesus. Every school you see, public or private, is a visible reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that? Even though it's a public government-run school. Why? Because before Christ, education was for the elite only. There was schools that were set up for only the rich people. The mass of people were never given any education. They were nothing more than basic slave creatures. Dr. Douglas, general editor of the book, The New International Dictionary of the Christian Church, says from its beginning, the religion of the Bible has gone hand in hand with teaching. Christianity is par excellence a teaching religion, and the story of its growth is largely an educational one. As Christianity spread, patterns of more formal education developed. We are the cause for our nation to be what it is today. We founded every university in this nation. Do you know that? They wouldn't know it now, because once they kicked Jesus out, they took over and filled it full of socialism and lies again. But every university has its backdrop in Jesus. Whether it's Princeton, Yale, you go to all these places, they were founded by Christians for Christian reasons. It's incredible. Even though there were schools called universities, a scholar, Rasdell, writes, nothing approaching a regular university ever existed before Christianity set one up. He defines university as a scholastic guild, whether of masters and students engaged in higher education and study. This definition makes the start of their invention from the Church of Jesus Christ. The church is the first ones in the Middle Ages who set up universities to teach people the truth of God. Everything you can think of comes from Jesus. Government by the people for the people comes from Jesus, which we mentioned. Here's a quotation. I already mentioned it, but here's a quotation if you want to look at it real quick. The evidence, even secular universities are having to admit it. This man is still from the Louisiana State University. He's the head of a whole department on history. He says the denominational differences are minimized partly as a result of the homogenizing and democratizing is the word. But notice how these guys can't talk normal English for us, right? Effects of decades of revivalism from the Great Awakening and its rumbling echoes and aftershocks. That the leading lights of the revolutionary congresses and the federal convention were generally men of faith can no longer be doubted. Go through all that, and it's basically the people in universities are admitting, you know what, we cannot keep denying the fact that Christians set this nation up, is what he's saying. We've tried to hide it, but the facts are, the truth is Christianity so swept through this land before we started our foundations, they set this up and made us a nation. He further went on, this other man, Sandoz, talked about Presbyterian ministers who preach from the Word of God, and their whole church concept from the Bible included constitution based on law, inalienable rights, which were God-given, and therefore natural. Remember we talked about in our constitution, natural law, that all men are created equal. All these concepts were preached in the churches all over the country. Over and over again, it's so built into the people of America, all they did is left the church and wrote what the church said and made their constitution, the Bill of Rights, and everything else came right out of the church. Out of the Bible, completely. If Jesus never was born, freedom would not exist. Or if it did exist, it would be so limited, it would be a handful of people who controlled the rest of the world. And that's not much called freedom except for the few elite that have the freedom, is it? Because of the Christian practice of obedience, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. Free enterprise exploded from America. Do you understand that's why we have free enterprise? When people across our land said, I will not steal, therefore the king couldn't get anybody to steal anything any longer and be on his side. So instead they went to work. And our America culture is the one who made it so good to work. We became so rich from working, the other nations said, the king said, how did those guys do that? They don't even have kings in their place. We became the richest nation that ever existed in the history of mankind because we followed a simple practice, do not steal and do not covet. Do you understand when you set up you coveting, all you're doing is planning on robbing somebody sometime. You're thinking about, until it gets to a point, I got to have that. You either rob the guy or beat him out of it or trick him out of it. But it's sin that's busting and breaking and destroying the hearts of men. But when people practice the law of God, what is the evidence? Blessing. For a whole nation, blessing. Exactly. John Chamberlain writes in Roots of Capitalism, Christianity tends to create a capitalistic mode of life whenever siege conditions do not prevail. This guy's not a Christian. He's saying, watching it, when Christians are living in a system, capitalism is the natural result. What's that mean? Well, basically, free enterprise and ethics are behind it all. Let me show you. Thou shalt not steal means the Bible establishes private property as His will. God wills us to have private property. Well, that's so wreck socialism who says you can't have anything private. Christianity, based on the Bible, on the law of God, God assumes you should own private property. He assumes you should have the freedom to have your own home. Therefore, our nation shows the good of that. Thou shalt not covet means it is wrong to contemplate the seizure of another person's goods. Socialists still don't know how to answer that question. Even socialists supposed Christians, whatever that means. False witness and adultery means that whole concept contradicts the idea of honor, and it also the idea of you must keep contracts. Christianity says, no, you don't shack up with your girlfriend for a while and go to the next. You get married. You go into a covenant, a contract. You keep your word. You hold your word. Why? Because the Bible says, don't be a false witness and deceive. And adultery shows that God wants you to keep your contracts. Therefore, honesty and right and business practices are a natural result of that also. When you make a contract, you keep your word. All coming from where? The Bible. Honor your father and mother implies the family, not the government, has control over children, over your source and control of society. The government doesn't tell me what a family is. My God says a man and a woman are a husband and wife, that's family. Not two men, two women. When the government gets their face in there, they're defying the living God, because it's not their business to tell me what a family is. I don't need them to define family. God already did it, right? And the moment the government gets involved, they destroy and cause more harm to our country. You know how I know that? The countries who have already done this are suffering great loss. You know, Holland already established that two men or two women can be married. You know what that's caused? Even greater destruction. Over the years since they've done this, they're the leading country that did it in Europe. Marriage is destroyed. Now there's even less people married than before. In the years they've been able to track it, marriage has fallen further. Therefore, there's more immorality. There's more hurt people. There's more children that are orphans. There's more destruction. It never helped. It was a destruction and a lie to follow that path. And now America wants to practice it too. Free family unit is the guarantor for long days in the land. Remember, Jesus even taught in the scripture, said, if you honor your father and mother, you will live long in the land. Well, you won't live long if you practice these other things. You die of herpes and HIV and you'll suffer. I mean, everything's destroyed. You won't live long. You live less. Well, if Jesus was never born, the world would be far more miserable than it is today. That's my one sentence sermon I want you to think about. When you hear the stupidity of the world around you saying things, you just remember, folks, you have not a clue. You haven't given God gratefulness, because you couldn't even speak freely what you're saying if you live in half the other nations, or more than half the other nations of this world. You're enjoying the freedoms you have and the blessings you have because of Jesus. You're missing the point. Our life is not miserable, but we've been lifted up high because of Christ.